Our call to worship tonight is from Isaiah 7:14 and the Gospel of John, chapter 1, 9 through 18. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And from John, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not recognize him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who comes from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in close relationship with the Father, has made him known." This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, in this crazy, busy, have-to-do-a-lot-of-stuff time of year, manger at Bethlehem seems very familiar, God, and very small. And so tonight we need you to open our eyes to see anew the wondrous thing you have done, the glorious gift you have given us. So God, we ask that you would bring your word alive in us tonight, that we might see you, that we might hear you, that we might touch you, that we might be transformed by your love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I love creches. I love nativity scenes. I love looking at all the different styles and different interpretations that there are. As a matter of fact, I just found out a week or so ago from Barb that Fisher-Price actually makes a nativity for children to be able to touch and play with and kind of act out the story. And I'm really excited about that because I'm going to get one for Andy and Lucy this year. But one thing that I think that manger scenes creches have done is they've really cleaned up the nativity for us. Look at them with a beautiful clean straw and a glowing Mary with a baby Jesus either in her arms or swaddled really nicely in this kind of cool-looking manger. And we miss a lot of the rawness of and the messiness of what happened there. First of all, the whole reason they were in a stable or possibly a cave where the animals were kept is because there was no room for them. There was no place for the coming Jesus in the busy town of Bethlehem as people came back home to register for the census. And so we have this King of Kings and Lord of Lords being born in this shed, in this stable for animals. And in the beautiful interpretations of the scene we see in different major scenes we have maybe in our own home, we're missing afterbirths and umbilical cords and blood and sweat and animal dung and the smell of beasts and all sorts of other things. Jesus came bursting into history, came bursting into the world, and it was messy. And hardly anybody noticed. The angels announced it to some shepherds, the lowly of the low, if you will, who came. And much later on, we find magi, wise men, if you will, from the east who followed the star and found this King of Kings, but most of Bethlehem was not paying attention. There's something about the baby Jesus that we we've romanticized as well. You know, as much as I love the Christmas carol Away in the Manger and we sing No Crying He Makes, that's probably really untrue. Somehow God the Son stepped in humanity and became fully human while at the same time being fully God. We call it the incarnation. Theologians love big words. Incarnation, where God took on flesh. And although there are volumes and volumes and volumes written about it, it's still a mystery to us how God became man. So this was not some helpless, beautiful baby in a manger, but it was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yet, he made himself a helpless, beautiful baby. I love during Advent, if I have the opportunity to be around babies. And we're very blessed in this congregation because we have some babies around right now, often on Sunday morning. But as I hold a baby, and I had the opportunity this week to hang out with Luke Shellhart a little bit, and as I was holding him this week, and he was kind of sleeping on my chest, and I was thinking about how helpless babies are. You know, they need to be held, they need to be loved, they need to be comforted, they need to be fed, they need to have their diapers changed. They need to be calmed and soothed and loved. How helpless they are without them. And it struck me as I held this beautiful sleeping boy that God Almighty, God the Son, voluntarily became helpless. Voluntarily stepped down from glory and took on the limitations of flesh. It is mind-boggling when you think about it, that the one that spoke at creation, who created all that we know, the one that created the waters, was thirsty. The one whose home is in the highest of heavens walked on earth as a homeless traveling rabbi. Jesus was not just a good man who followed God. He was God in the flesh, God fleshed out for us. John tells us that in the very beginning of the gospel. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later on in that chapter, as Tom read to us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I love the way Eugene Peterson says it in The Message. He says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved in to the neighborhood. God with us was Isaiah's promise. This baby, this son of the virgin, this son of God was going to be Emmanuel, God with us. And as I think about that over this Advent season, as I spend time thinking about the glorious one wrapped in human flesh, as I think about the one who is infinite and almighty and worthy of worship and praise, wrapping himself in our broken flesh, I am almost undone. Because we ask ourselves the question, why? And even though we know the answer, it's easy to lose it in the craziness that we've surrounded this season with. God knew that no matter how hard we tried, no matter how high we climbed, we would never be able to get to him. And so instead of waiting for us to climb up to him, he stepped down into our messy humanity that he might live our life, that he might die our death, that he might by himself reconcile us back to him. The cross was always, always God's plan from the very beginning. We're told that Jesus is a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Before God even created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he knew who we were. He knew what our falls would look like. He knew that we would need him to reach down to us because we could never reach high enough to get to him. And so in the Star of Bethlehem that showed the birth of this holy, blessed one was the cross. And as I think about that, I'm again undone. I am brought almost to my knees because although I say in my head and I believe in my heart that I am saved by the grace of Jesus Christ that I find in the cross of Calvary, my life says something totally different. My life so often says that if I just try hard enough, if I could just stop sinning, if I could just stop being selfish, if I could be more disciplined, if I could read my Bible more, if I could pray more, if I could hear God more clearly, somehow I seem to be telling myself and the rest of the world that I could be the person that God wants me to be. And the reality I see as I look at the manger and I see the Son of God fleshed out for me in the middle of blood and sweat and feces, I know that there is no other way. There is no other way for me to be in relationship with God Almighty except through Jesus Christ. And no amount of trying, no amount of gritting my teeth, no matter how many Bible studies and Sunday school classes and small groups I belong to, there is nothing that I can do to get myself to the place where I need to be. The only way the manger in Bethlehem tells me, the only way I become the person God is calling me to be is by following that one all the way to the cross, by clinging to him, by letting him press himself into me, by letting him fill me up with his spirit, by letting him be with me, by being available for him to do his work through me. And I find myself being so sorry for my arrogance, so sorry for my self-righteousness, so sorry for the fact that it is so much easier to see other people's brokenness than my own. And yet, even still, even with mixed motives, even with this crazy combination of an overinflated ego and poor self-esteem, even though I'm always falling back into becoming a Pharisee because I'm only a recovering Pharisee, even though I'm tempted to follow the letter of the law and forget about the spirit of it, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with me, God with us, continues to reach out to me and invite me to know him, encourages me to let him live his life in me and through me. We struggle as a people sometimes understanding who God is and what God looks like. And we have all sorts of people in the church and outside the church trying to tell us who God is. And sometimes we have visual pictures of this kind of grandfatherly man with a beard up in heaven, and sometimes he has a lightning bolt just waiting to strike his people. But John tells us that if we want to know what God looks like, then we look at Jesus. Paul tells us that he is the exact representation of the invisible God, that Jesus Christ makes the invisible God made known to us. It's as if God gave us a snapshot of what he looks like in Jesus Christ. the one who continued to challenge self-righteous people, the one who continued to shake up the religious institutions who thought they had figured out God, the one who cared desperately about the poor and the needy, the one who ate with prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners, the one who came to bring his wayward children home. God says to us, that's the very best picture. The very best picture of who I am. And in that very best picture of who God is, we find that God is not just interested in the got it all together parts of our lives. He is not just interested in our church selves, our church faces, the part of our lives that are all polished up and ready for anyone to look at. But he reminds us that he is just as interested in the messy, broken, bloody, smelly, dirty parts of our lives. That he cares about our broken places. He cares about our struggles. He cares about our challenges. And it's not his desire to be a far-off God, but it's his desire to be a God who's with us, Emmanuel. And so he reminds us that he's in the middle of struggles with cancer. He's in the middle of chemotherapy treatments. He's in the middle of broken relationships. He's in the middle of stressed out parents. He's in the middle of rebellious children. He's in the middle of terrible finances. He's in the middle of when we lose our job. He's in the middle of the biggest, darkest, scariest storms of our life. That's the picture that Jesus leaves us with of God. He is a God who cares, a God who loves us, a God who continually invites us to come closer in, to know more of him, to experience his power in our weakness, in our brokenness, to watch him hold true to his promise that he works all things, even the very worst things, together for our good. To test out and find how true his promise that he will not let us go, that we are his and no one, nothing can snatch us out of his hand. Nothing, Paul reminds us, is able to separate us from the love of God that we find in Christ Jesus. You know, we've experienced God's grace. We know it. We sing about it. We've seen it in our lives. And yet the longer I know him, the longer I walk with him, the more I realize that we have but dipped our toe in the ocean of God's grace. We've experienced only the tiniest bit of his love. And I believe he gives us this opportunity in Advent at Christmas. He gives us the opportunity to one more time invite him in, to invite him into the places that we hold back from him, to invite him into the unanswered prayers, the places that we think maybe he doesn't even care about us, to really let him be, in a way stronger than he's ever been before, Emmanuel, God with us, God fleshed out for us, God who loves us. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we just want to take a minute and tell you how sorry we are that sometimes our lives say something different than the truth that our hearts know. Lord, and we're sorry for thinking that somehow we're going to finish this all up in our flesh, that we're going to try hard enough, we're going to be devout enough to earn your love. Lord, we want our lives to show that we know that we are in desperate need of your grace, that we are absolutely lost without you. Lord, we want to commit ourselves this Advent season, this Christmas time, to being in relationship with you, Lord. You're not something we have to do, some obligation, but you are a loving God, our Abba, who invites us to know you and to love you and be led by you. So, Lord, we, with shepherds, with kings, we bow down at the manger tonight and ask that you would take all of us. God, we lift up to you our frustrations, our fears, our anxieties, our stresses, our lonely, broken places. God, the prayers that we are not even sure that you're hearing, we lift them up to you tonight, God. And we invite you to be with us, to be Emmanuel for us, to remind us of how very, very much you love us, and to help us rest in that love, and to allow your Spirit to do your transforming work, indeed, to make us the people that you're calling us to be. Help us to be with you tonight, God. Help us to be surrendered to all that you have for us. We love you, we praise you, we trust you, and we pray in Jesus' name.